Hey, this is Rusty Drake, and you're listening to Wild Man and Steve Show, and God bless you all.
You are about to listen to the intersection of faith, talk, and music. The Wild Man and Steve Show starts right now.
Get ready. Here comes the conclusion of the interview with Ava Phillips with the boys, Wild Man and Steve. Here we go.
That you could use this idea of that oral tradition of music as a way to defend the truth of the Bible and the way the Gospels in particular were written.
I think that's like a very valid point and very interesting. I agree. I don't necessarily have a idea in the moment of like how that would necessarily play out, because on one hand, I think that's a very good way to tell a story and make it personal and be able to communicate with other non-believers. But at the same time, it's like, you don't want to misinterpret the Bible and give false teaching.
Sure.
And so I think there's definitely like a line that could be blurred at times. And so I'm like, how would you be able to do that without, you know, like misinterpreting? So, yeah.
Yeah. I'd agree to it. Yeah. I think what she just said, Steve, she said it best. So I don't need to respond, you know.
And believe me, I'm fine with that.
It's true. There is, you do need to be careful to not swing it too far one direction. But yes, it is. Like when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, each of them had a purpose in their writing. Okay. Matthew's writing to the Jews, Mark's writing to the Romans, Luke is writing to the Gentiles. And that's why Luke's gospel is known as the gospel to the Gentiles. So you have to understand it in that context. And it's from their perspective. So you take that idea and you move it into the idea of music. It's the same thing. There are rules that you have to follow with music. There's a standard to use. It's not just you just randomly just throw notes out there, but there's something. But at the same time, you can put your own perspective, your own interpretation on the music. But at the same time, you have the rules and then you have the improvisation. But the improvisation is always within something, always within some type of rule.
Now, I want to come back to Ava here, and obviously, and our fans know this, whether they've seen our pictures or they can just tell from the things we talk about, we are older, okay? We are middle-aged. Stop shaking your head, even though they can't see this.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, okay, you listen, brother, you crossed a pretty big milestone here not too long ago, so. Okay, we're old.
Yeah, but you crossed same milestone a long time before I did.
Oh, I did. That milestone is in my rearview mirror. That's for sure. But what I want to ask Ava is, what really is the role or that sacred music, from what you see, plays in the lives of your friends and your peers outside of church? I'm not talking about going to church and everybody singing songs. I'm talking about Monday through Saturday. Does sacred music, whether it be truly churchy hymns kind of stuff, or Kanye stuff, or Lecrae, or whatever, you know, Toby Mac, the Newsboys, these kinds of things. What role, if any, does that play in the lives of people your age?
It's a good question. I honestly don't know if it plays that much of a role. Like, I follow a lot of people on Spotify, and so I know I see their like Christian or worship, you know, playlists. But I don't know, like, if they ever listen to it, or they just like created that playlist. I know, at least for me, I typically listen to that type of music with like when I'm stressed, or like I have a final, or something is coming on in my day, or it's coming up is when I typically listen to it, or when I'm trying to focus on something, I typically listen to that music. But yeah, other than like youth group, you know, like I don't know if that plays that much of a role in our lives compared to like more.
I really wondered about that.
Yeah.
And you're getting ready, obviously, to go off to college. And so go ahead and tell us a little bit about where you're looking to go, or where you are going, and what you're thinking about studying.
Yeah. So I'm going to California to a private school called Azusa Pacific. That's about like 20 minutes outside of LA with like good traffic. And I'll be studying a bachelor's of fine arts in cinematic arts production. I don't know what I want to do with that yet, but I definitely like the idea of music videos, because it combines the things I really love, which is like storytelling, the video, lyrics, and then like some music videos also have dance, which I really like too. And so just like putting all those things I really love and enjoy into one thing, I think it's really cool. So
I do too. I love that. And I love the idea of, especially when you use the phrase storytelling. Something, you know, you might even find, and you might end up doing this as a paper or a project or something for some class, but I think it would be interesting for somebody like you, your age, to dig into the real listening habits of your peers. Mm. Because I had a hunch that your answer was going to be what it was, that the sacred music really does not play that much of a role in the lives of maybe your, you know, 15 to 25, we'll say, kind of use that 10-year range there. That, you know, certainly youth group, certainly church, as you said, and maybe some other times, but not really, not that much on a regular basis. And so whether that's good, bad, or ugly, not I'm not saying, but I think that's interesting, because we also know that artists are often pitching to young people, because young people have the disposable cash, right? They're the ones who've got the money to either go to the concert or download or whatever. So I think it might be interesting to explore, you know, in a research kind of way, what the actual listening habits are of your age group.
I can't believe I'm so stupid.
What are you talking about?
Man, 32 years ago, I had a cassette collection that would blow the doors off anyone else.
Really?
Yeah, man. I had a big cardboard box full of cassettes. You name it, it was there. I'm talking about anything from Phil Keaggy to Petra to Holy Soldier to Rez Band to Bride to Tamplin to Leviticus, White Cross, Baron Cross, Neon Cross. You name it, it was there.
Wow, I'd love to see that sometime.
Well, that's just the thing. I'm just plain stupid.
Why? What are you talking about?
I don't have them anymore.
I'm sorry. What?
I let them go. Some I gave away. Others over the years of multiple moves. I just lost track.
Well, we live and we learn.
Well, that's just it. How can I learn from something like that? How could I possibly begin to rebuild my collection?
Girder.
I mean, what would really be great would be to rebuild my collection with CDs. I mean, streaming is great and all, but there's something about...
Girder.
You know what would be great? If there was a company where I could go who could have all those cassettes that I used to have in CDs, instead of spending hours searching, I could just go to one company, one-stop shop.
Girder!
I'm sorry, what?
Girder. Girder is just the place to rebuild your collection. They have it all. Petra, Resband, Bride, the list just goes on and on. Go to girdermusic.com today and relive those moments of great music you used to love.
Wow. Girdermusic.com. You're right. I'm looking at it right now. I can't believe this. I can rebuild my whole collection with CDs and even vinyl. So, hey, I guess this means I'm not stupid after all.
The jury's still out on that one.
You know, there's many things that you wrote that intrigued me, because I've always been fascinated by the history of music and the history of the church and the history of music and church together. And we had I had a person that I talked to about 3 years ago, who's a classical guitarist, and he studied theology and music together in college. And he talked about how that every theological movement has always had a typical style of music that accompanied it throughout history. But the part of your paper that intrigued me is the idea that when they started bringing instruments into the church, and then they were saying, this sounds like the blues music outside of the church, that caused the controversy. But then you go on to say something that I don't think many people recognize. And that is the class of music, the educational class, the wealth and the poverty, how that makes a difference. What is your perception on that? What was your takeaway from that part of the study?
That was definitely something that I discovered. And it, like, after like learning, I was like, yes, this makes sense. And then recognizing how, like, regionally that, like, was, like, I didn't also recognize, like, oh, in the South, it was typically more like this type of music. And then you had, like, more of the educated people up North. So it was like more of, like, this style, like, quote unquote, proper, you know, music was being played there. And I think that's no longer per se the case today, but like, I think, like, say, like, rap, I think, is not considered proper. It's, like, more for, like, the lower class. And so I think there's still kind of that, like, classism a little bit in music, but not as much as it, like, used to be.
Right. I'm right with you, Wildman. I thought that was absolutely fascinating. And again, it's one of those things when you think about it, it does make sense, exactly like you said, Ava, but I don't know that I would have thought about that initially. And, you know, you made your reference about with class, and I think it is to be expected, because music is it's a cultural artifact, right? It's something that comes out of culture, whether that's rural or urban or rich or poor, educated or uneducated, secular. The culture is shaping that, and we live in a broken world. So you're always going to have, until Jesus comes back and makes all things new, you're always going to have some people who look down on others for whatever reason, right? Well, I've got more money than you, or I've got more education than you, or whatever. And therefore, the things that come from your cultural perspective, I'm going to devalue. And so to a certain degree, now, again, doesn't mean you don't keep working to eradicate that. But again, Jesus said pretty clearly, you're going to have the weeds growing up right along with the good wheat. You know, right, so you're going to have that.
Ain't no grave can hold my body. Walking around, ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, I heard of a beautiful sick, and its trees was paved with gold. But I had not been to heaven. Oh Lord, I've been told that I found the throne of grace. It's gonna point my soul a place. Ain't no grave.
Do you think, based on your research, from the early days to now, and of course you mentioned about the pushback with Kanye's album, but do you think that we are getting any better in that regard, in accepting of a different style in the church, and not pushing back on it because it's secular, and or accepting a style and not pushing back on it because we see it as simply inferior culture?
I'm going to say no in regard to like that music being played like actually inside the church.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, let's play a Christ song on Sunday morning. Like, there would be major pushback on that. I think in general, Christians are accepting of different styles and genres of music. But when it comes like, oh, let's play this type of music in my church, then I have an issue with it, because then it's like pushing my boundaries. It's in my space, and then I have to deal with it. Like, if I don't have to listen to it, it's not my problem. I'm completely fine with it. But when I have to deal with it and handle it, then I have an issue with it.
Do you think it'd be along the lines of, you kids are welcome to go listen to that in your youth group,
right?
But don't bring that in on Sunday morning.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Yep.
So let me ask this. Do you think that some of this is also just simply falling along age line?
Yeah, I think that's also a combination of that too.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of generations grown up to this music, and they're like, this is what sacred music is. And what you're listening to, you might call that sacred and you can do that. But like in my church, when I worship the Lord, this is what I consider sacred music, and this is what we're going to do. And so you definitely see the divide there generationally too.
Stand up for my home, even if I take this walk alone. I bow down to the King upon the throne. My life is his, I'm no longer my own. I pray to God that he'll strengthen my hand. They will think twice stepping onto my land.
Let me ask you this. You're moving on to college, and a lot of change is going to be happening in your life. And how do you see your research on this particular thesis helping you in your future?
I think a lot of it, just recognizing, I think more of like the sampling side of it. I was like, oh, this is a sacred song, but with secular lyrics, and just like recognizing that more and just in my everyday. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I still feel iffy about it. I'm just like, but like, why? Like, what were your intentions behind this? Like, what are you trying to say by sampling this music? And I think sometimes I still like, I'm definitely struggling with that.
Right.
But I think that's like the biggest thing, and just recognizing just the influence that both sides had on each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, I'd like to encourage you just saying that I'm sure that in whatever way God chooses, he will use this in your future, in your thought process, whatever it might be, as a basis to build from. Which you can tell it, when you write, it's incredible what you're writing about. And for Steve and I to sit here and him to hear you and then me to read the paper, both of us are so intrigued by it. We're like, well, let's get her on the show. And the reason is because, Ava, and I'll see if Steve agrees with this, this isn't something you see out there a lot. You don't see this at this thought, this title, this theme as something that is popular that's out there that many people are writing about. Most of it, if you want to find it, has to be in the academic world or something like that, not caught by the mainstream. And I think the reason is because the mainstream is more of a instantaneous, you like it, you listen to it, that's it, who cares where it came from? But you're getting into the idea of the source, the history, which is really something powerful for all Christians to understand and to be a part of.
Oh, I'd agree with that 100%, Wild Man. And, you know, you talk about Paul earlier, and such a great comparison that you used, Ava, but I also think about Paul saying to Timothy, you know, don't let people look down on you because you're young. And I would really encourage you in that regard as you go forth into college. And again, you've certainly cinematic. You may be going in other directions visually, maybe more than musically, and so forth. But I wouldn't lose sight of what you've started in this paper. And to Wildman's point, it's exactly right. This is the kind of stuff that you would read, you know, in a sociology journal, cultural anthropology, this kind of stuff. And as good as that stuff is, it just stays in the academic realm. To bring it out and popularize it and help other people to see and understand their our own history and how that works, that is valuable. That's a valuable thing to do. So I would encourage you to stay with that and keep bringing that out to people.
Long Savior, I'll be right behind, reaching for his garment, left us here to cry. Should have seen it coming, fire in the sky.
All right. Well, we thank you for taking the time and being on the show. But before we go, it is time now for Wild Man's on the spot question.
I'm sorry, Ava, I should have warned you about this.
Well, he's the one that told us that we're not going to be any zingers. I was like, well, we always do this. So the Wild Man on the spot. And in fact, Ava, in fact, I have two for you. Two on the spot questions, not just one. All right. Here's the first one. Okay. Your connection to be on this show, as I understand it, is because of Steve's bride, Mrs. Perkins, correct?
Yes. Okay.
All right. So what can you tell the whole world right now in this moment about Mrs. Perkins?
Mrs. Perkins. Wow. She has a reputation. It's a good reputation at school. Everyone loves her. And I can understand why, like, before I was in her class, I was like, what is this all about? Like, I don't know. Like, okay, maybe she's cool. Maybe she's all right. She definitely lives up to the hype. I can 100% say that.
All right. Great. All right. Yes. Steve has a huge smile on his face now because he's never really spoke about her on the show. It's only been you. Okay. So.
And I will tell you, I'm not going to tell her about this. I'm going to wait till the episode comes out. And then she'll get to hear that. So that's very cool, Ava.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he didn't.
All right. Number two. Here we go. Since you are a music enthusiast, Ava, you can go to only one concert for the rest of your life. Which one are you going to go to? Who are you going to see?
Oh.
Only one.
Only one? Oh man, that is so hard. I am going to say I'm just going with it. I'm going to say PH1, who is a Korean American artist who does primarily more hip hop, KR, like R&B, rap music. And I really like him because, yes, he's secular, but then in a couple of his music, I was like, this sounds like a Christian wrote it. even though it was like secular music. And so I was like, this is really cool that I can listen to the secular music, but then also hear like this Christian values and views woven into his music.
Both my hands can't hold what's felt inside. Beside, 넌 beside, a big price like this side. 감당한 기복 찬양인데.
So yeah, I'll say that.
That's deep. That's deep.
Yeah, that's great. And you handled both on the spot questions fairly well, I would say. Yes. And thank you again for being on the show. It's been great to have you.
It was an honor to talk with Ava Phillips. She did outstanding research on the history of sacred and secular music and how they relate to each other. What we learn from her is not to take any music at face value in deciding whether something is sacred or not, but to research, and as she says, take a deeper dive before we make knee-jerk judgments on the music we are hearing. Music is a gift from God, and I will leave you with the Apostle Paul's statement. So whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all for the glory of God. This applies to our music as well. Thank you for listening, everybody, and we will see you next time.
The Wild Man and Steve Show is now partnering with New Release Today. Find out more about them at newreleasetoday.com. And don't forget to check out our website, where you can also leave us a review at wildmanandsteve.com.
Sounds like rock and roll to me.